Dagatahi, whose movement is imperceptible. That means, for those of you who not native English speakers, that means you can't see it. Imperceptible means something that cannot be perceived by the mundane senses. So bung shva, enjoy. I don't know the meaning of that. Lokam, this world. Karma vinirmitam, manufactured by fruit of activities. Ya, one who. He, certainly. May, my. Pratana, soldiers. Yukta, help by. Prajanasham, annihilation of the living entities. Praneshasi, you shall carry out without any hindrance. So, translation, this world is a product of fruit of activities, therefore you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Helped by my soldiers, you can kill them without opposition. You can repeat, this world is a product of fruit of activities. Therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general, helped by my soldiers. You can kill them without opposition. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word karma, vinir mittam, means manufactured by fruit of activities. This entire material world, especially in these days, is the result of fruit of activities. Everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, businesses, etc. All this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification and who are ignorant of spiritual identity. As described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 5th canto, 5th chapter, text 4. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yudindra prityaha pranoti na sarumanye yatahatmano yam asanabhi kleshada asadehaha. Those without knowledge of the spirit soul are mad after materialistic activities, and they perform all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. According to Rishabhadev, such activities are inauspicious because they force one to accept an abominable body in the next life. Everyone can experience that although we try to keep the body in a comfortable position, it is always giving pain and is subjected to the threefold miseries. Otherwise, why are there so many hospitals, welfare boards, and insurance establishments? Actually, in this world, there's no happiness. People are simply engaged, trying to counteract unhappiness. Foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness. Therefore, the king of the oven has decided to attack such foolish people imperceptibly by old age, disease, and ultimately death. Of course, after death, there must be birth. Therefore, Yavanaraj thought it wise to kill all the karmis through the agency of Kalakanya and thus try to make them aware that materialistic advancement is not actually advancement. Every living entity is a spiritual being, and consequently, without spiritual advancement, the human form of life is ruined. Heavy verse. So, Tvam avyakta gatir vrungshva lokam karma vinirmitam Yahime pratanha yukta prajana shampaneshasi. So, Omagana timidanda shaganjana shalakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, this, of course, is a very common theme throughout the Vedic literatures. I can think of the Bhagavad Gita, of course. The whole chapter about the universal form illustrates this particular point. Here, this story is actually a metaphorical story, for those of you who don't know. You know, Kalakanya, of course, is time girl. And actually, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what kalo asmi? He says, I am time. Now, time is actually one of the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita. Did you know that? You didn't know that. What are the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita? Anyone know? No Bhagavad Gita scholars here. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, the Supreme Lord, the living entity, time, Prakriti. No, you got four so far. You left that one. Starts with a K. Karma. I don't. Did you say that? Yeah. All right. So there's five. Anyway, so there's five topics, main topics of the Bhagavad Gita, right? So time factor is one of the topics, and actually Krishna gives a very nice demonstration of this time factor in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that's a chapter about the universal form. It's sometimes we call this virtual reality. I don't know if you know what virtual reality means. You go on your computer and you can actually go into a world and see all sorts of disasters and everything like that, and shoot all sorts of people and come out later and still not be dead. You understand? No? You don't know what computers are? Okay. Anyway, so that's what virtual reality is. And you actually find yourself, you know, after you've spent like 3 hours or 3 days on the computer, you find that, well, you may be dead anyway because you haven't drunken or eaten for 3 days. But in any case, it's like that. Like Arjuna was shown this demonstration of what the time factor is. And in that demonstration of the time factor, all the soldiers, in fact, all living entities, they were rushing towards what? The mouth of the universal form. And in that mouth, everybody was being swallowed, like just like blanks fly into a blank. What is the example Prabhupada uses? Just like blanks, this is a Bhagavad Gita test. Moths go into the fire. You understand? You ever seen outside here in America? At night during the summer, you have a fire going on, and the moths, particularly candles or things like that, and the moths just fly into these. Yeah, they fly into these candles, and just like they kill themselves. So in the same way, all of us in this material world, we're just like flying into there. Or another example is given. The Prabhupada doesn't use this example, but it's similar. The lemmings. You know what a lemming is? Lemming is a cute little animal, but at a particular time, they all just like jump off a cliff together. It's really interesting. I mean, it's sad, but interesting. So the moths rush into a fire, the lemmings jump off a cliff, and Krishna showed it to Arjuna. And Arjuna, he wasn't too happy with it. He was actually shocked, terrified, horrified. You know, he actually wanted to relate to his friend Krishna. He didn't like to see Krishna in that form. Prabhupada also talks about that. Prabhupada said when the bombs were falling in Calcutta, that was before any of you were born. Was anyone born before World War II here? No, I don't think so. Anyway, so the bombs were falling in Calcutta. Prabhupada actually said the British were bombing Calcutta. Anyway, it's an interesting story. Anyway, I'm not going to tell the whole history there, but Subhash Chandra Bose was opposing the British, right? And he had gotten the Japanese emperor to agree that any Indian soldiers that were captured, and also Hitler to agree that any Indian soldiers who were captured, would join his liberation army. Did you know that? Interesting story. And actually, Subhash Chandra Bose was the cause of the Indian independence. Not so much Gandhi. Gandhi, you know, he was all right. We like him. But it was actually Subhash Chandra Bose who was more the cause of the Indian independence. So anyway, the Calcutta was being bombed, World War I, World War II. And Prabhupada actually was a very interesting story. He was eating his prasadam. He didn't want to stop eating prasadam. Prabhupada would always meditate on prasadam. So even if the bombs were falling, Prabhupada would just slowly eat his prasadam and relish prasadam. That shows how we should relish prasadam, you know. and not get into passionate activities, even if the bombs are falling and Katrina is coming. We should just, you know, enjoy prasadam. So anyway, so Prabhupada enjoyed prasadam. So Prabhupada was eating prasadam, and Prabhupada said in this regard, he saw this as a form of Krishna. The universal form, you know, the bombs falling, death coming, which is. Krishna also says, mrityu sarva harashchaham. In addition to kalawasmi, he says, mrityu sarva harashchaham, which means I'm all devouring death, you know, all encompassing death. Mrityu, death, sarva, harashchaham. I am that all encompassing death. So that's Krishna, which is really interesting. So Arjuna saw Krishna in that form, Prabhupada saw Krishna in that form. And neither one appreciated Krishna in that form. Actually, both of them were thinking, this is not a lovable form of Krishna. So, of course, the lovable form of Krishna is, you know, Yam Shaima Shundaram Achuncha Guna Swarupam Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. That's Shaima Shundara holding a flute. We don't, at least you shouldn't have a picture of the universal form on the altar and offer arti to it. This is not our worshipable Ishta Deva. You understand? So anyway, Arjuna was shocked, and then he said, you know, please let me see your form as the Lord of all the world. So then Krishna showed his form as the four-handed form. And then Krishna showed his two-handed form to Arjuna, the most lovable form. So basically, that's Krishna. So the question is, I mean, this is a big theological question. Why is Krishna so mean like that? That he's, you know, it's not actually Kalakanya, it's Krishna. You know, Kalakanya is the time girl, but that's a manifestation of Krishna. So anyway, it's a theological question. So people answer that theological question in many ways. One way they answer it is that they posit or they think of God as the prime mover. That means the person who started the whole material universe, you know, he breathed out, got everything going, you know, breathe the breath of life into Adam or something like that, pulled out one of Adam's ribs, gave him a girlfriend. You know that story? No, you don't know that story. All right, it's a little Bible story for those of you who are from a different culture. In the beginning there was nothing. God said, let there be light. Anyway, and in the beginning was the Word. And that was Om, actually, but it doesn't say that in Bhagavad Gita. The Prabhupada said that, according from the Bible, and actually equating that pranavasa ravedushu, shabdake purushamnushu. So anyway, so originally there was one person, his name was Adam, right? And he felt lonely because he didn't have a girlfriend and he wasn't a brahmachari. You know, he should have just shut up at that point and tolerated. Anyway, things would have gone a lot better. So, isn't it? You know, the whole world would have been filled with brahmacharya. Anyway, there wouldn't have been any more except for Adam. Adam, because he wouldn't have had any children. So, it wouldn't have been a world. Anyway, so that would have been pretty good. Like one devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, if everybody became Krishna conscious, there would be no more material world. Prabhupada said, that's all right. Very nice idea. So anyway, so Adam, he got lonely, so God made him go to sleep for a few minutes, gave him general anesthesia. It's true. It's in the Bible. I'm not just making these things up. Gave him general anesthesia, pulled out one of his ribs. That's why we're all missing some rib here. You blame the women for it. So he pulled out one of his ribs, and then he created a lady. And then there was Eve. All right. And they were in the Garden of Eden. Everything was cool there. But somehow or other they disobeyed God because of the influence of a snake, which is Maya. You know, it's very similar to the Vedic conception. They got kicked out of the spiritual world, the Garden of Eden, whatever. And so, why is God so damn mean, is the question, that he makes this material world? I mean, just like we were visiting with some people in New Taliban, some of our, you know, God brothers, one God brother, Dwija Hari, for example, and he has cancer. I don't know if you heard that. And I was looking at, and last 6 months, 6 months ago I saw him and he looked, you know, reasonably healthy. But now his legs are just like this thin and he's coughing and he's in excruciating pain. You know, we were sitting and talking with him and he was every 5 minutes he was going, oh, like that, in intense pain, even though he was taking morphine for pain relief. So, you know, ask your question, why is Krishna doing this? You know, I thought he's supposed to, hey, Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, you know, right? Yeah. Karuna, Sindhu means you're an ocean of mercy. But, you know, what kind of, instead we should say, you know, instead we should change that prayer, you know, instead of Karuna, Sindhu, you know, that instead of, you know, Sindhu means ocean, we should say you're an ocean of misery instead of an ocean of mercy. You know, sometimes you think like that, isn't it? And people become atheistic because of that conception. They think, you know, look at all the misery. How could there be a God, right? It actually inspires people to be atheists like that. So why does Krishna have this misery there? And of course, you know, Maya, of course, which is working under Krishna's direction, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanena Kontya Jagat Pivari Vartate. So Maya is actually in charge of this misery with the Adiatmik, Adibodhik, and Adidaivik misery. She's quite expert in miseries. I mean, she has three types. You want miseries? You've got three types, you know. You can select. Just like you go to Walmart, you can select, you know, what type of MP3 player you want or what type of clothes you want. So Maya, she gives you a good selection of miseries. You get miseries from your body and mind. Just like we see, you know, some people like depressed, some people are, you know, psychotic, schizophrenic. You know, schizophrenic people, actually, they hear voices. I was just reading an article the other day about a student in the university, and he started to hear voices that were telling him to, you know, kill the teacher, kill the students. And, you know, he was hearing all this. And he couldn't concentrate on your studies. Obviously, if you're trying to study and you hear voices in your head. It's like someone turns the radio on real loud. Can you imagine that? Like you're trying to study and someone... I remember in the university, you know, we tried to study sometimes in the next dormitory room, they would turn the radio or the rock and roll on real loud. And I go, I can't study. And I had to go to the library. They actually had special places to study in the dormitories that called study carrels. They were downstairs. I don't know if anyone's experienced this. Anyone here ever go to university? No. Yeah. Yeah. They had places to study because the students were so noisy.
Yeah,
they go to the library someplace, it's quiet. So can you imagine like a radio blaring all the time, 24 hours a day, instead, you know, and actually the worst punk music, kill them, do it. You know, that's punk music, that's modern music, right? Kill, rape, steal. It's like Rakshasa music on the radio now. It's like, you know, Robin has taken over the radio stations. Isn't it? I mean, just hard. And Robin has taken over Hollywood and soon will take over Bollywood. At least Bollywood's in the mode of passion. You know, romance, you know. You know, romance, that's Bollywood's passion. But Hollywood's in the mode of ignorance. And the video games are in the mode of ignorance too. You know, kill, shoot. You know, most popular video game. So can you imagine that? That's so talking about the material miseries. That playing in your ears all day long. That's called schizophrenia. You understand? Yeah, schizophrenia. You know, people just hear. Or there's different types of schizophrenia. One type of schizophrenia. Anyway, I don't want to get into a whole description of different psychological diseases. Or you have paranoia. Where you think everyone is out to kill me. You know, Ananda Gopal is, he wants to kill me. You actually believe it. You know, there's paranoia, schizophrenia. Or depression, where you feel, oh, I'm horrible, I'm useless, I'm worthless, there's nothing to do, the whole world, oh, I want to kill myself. And then you plan out in your mind how to kill yourself. Maybe I'll jump from the bridge, maybe I'll hang myself, maybe I'll take some pills, maybe I'll shoot my head, you know, shoot my brains out. And so there's, I mean, you go through all these psychological, Maya's arranged all these wonderful psychological diseases. you know, or, you know, those manic depressive, sometimes you're jumping around like, da, da, da. Other times you get depressed. It's amazing. There's actually a book about psychological diseases called the DSM-4. I don't know if any of you know about this. It's a diagnostic manual. It's really thick. So you can determine how crazy you are. In other words, so you can have a label for each type of craziness. And they come up with new crazinesses all the time. So they have to add things to this manual continually because they come up with new types of mental illness, especially nowadays. I mean, actually, more mental illness now. There's more mental illness in developed countries like America than there is in, you know, undeveloped countries, which is interesting. So you have the material miseries, getting to the point. You know, that's adiatmic. Miseries come from the mind and then the body and the aches, like Prabhupada comments here in the purport, isn't it? About the aches in the body, it's always giving you trouble. Just like, you know, I'm sitting in japa period and I got to keep shifting my legs because they fall asleep, and then the back hurts. And the neck hurts because I didn't have enough pillows when I slept last night. I'm not asking for more pillows. I'm just giving you an example. Or I had a pillow that was too thick, isn't it? And it, you know, that, and that, that's why they have a big industry leg for a sleep industry in America, right? So many bed stores, mattress stores. You can get a mattress that takes the shape of your body. You know, like a memory mattress. You know, that's called a memory. Yeah, that's something for the neck. You can get a mattress that the bed, you know, you push a button and the top of the bed goes up. You can get you can get a thick mattress. You can get a water bed. I don't know if they have water beds anymore. They did in the 1960s. Did you ever hear about those before? The 1960s. It was very common for people to have water beds. The only problem was when they sprang a leak, the person found them floating down the... You know, they drowned in the middle of the night in their waterbed. Anyway, so, if they had an electric heat or blanket on the waterbed, they would get electrocuted. That was very, not completely common, but it happens sometimes. So there's a, you know, so to alleviate the pains of the body, there's so many, you know, solutions that people take. I mean, it's just amazing. So that's all just adiatmic. And then adiadaivik, you know, it's too hot. Just like in Vrindavan, I was just speaking this morning to devotees in Vrindavan. I said, how is it in Vrindavan? How is it nice there? They said, I can't think. You know, they're trying to work in an office, a Food for Life office. And I said, I'm talking to the secretary, how are you doing? He said, I can't think. I can't get my work done. It's so damn hot. And she said, well, we're all going to the Himalayas. You know, the Himalayas is cool. So they go north to the Himalayas where it's a little cooler. So you know, you got that. Or in the Vrindavan, it's too cold in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, it gets down to freezing in the winter in Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is actually a desert climate. It's not, Mayapur is not as hot or as cold as Vrindavan because you're near the ocean there. But Vrindavan is actually part of a desert, the Rajasthani desert. Right on the border of the Rajasthani desert. Too hot or too cold, and you know, and all these miseries from, you know, it's raining or Katrina comes. I remember when Katrina came here, you know, oh my God, so many miseries came about. You know, that Shraddhadeva was here in the temple, and then his wife was yelling at me on the phone. That's another misery. Adibodhic misery, you know, other living entities. Yelling at me, why is he staying there? Tell him to leave. So every day I had to hear about 10 times a day, you know, about Shraddhadev here, you know, his wife was pregnant, you know. So we had that misery also. So so it's like that. And of course in Mayapur it floods regularly. And you're used to it. You enjoy it when it floods in Mayapur. It's like, you know, you go out in your boat, you go swimming and everything like that. But people die, actually.
Yeah.
Like, was it Prabhupada's granddaughter?
Yeah.
Prabhupada's granddaughter died in the flood. So in other words, I mean, Maya's a range. I'm just giving a brief description. There's billions of types of miseries. I mean, there's unlimited miseries in this material world, like the unlimited parts of the body to go bad. There's unlimited, weather problems there. You know, tsunamis, cyclones. There's unlimited other living entities who attack you, you know, politically, isn't it? Actually, it says in the Bhagavatam that the harsh words are actually more painful than a knife. Harsh words given by someone who loves you. I mean, just like you get married and you think you're going to, this is love. And then the wife says to you, you know, I hate you. And, you know, that hearing that, you know, from someone when that you love or you think you love, is just like I was speaking to someone yesterday, you know, the wife is doing things they're not so happy with, you know. I'm not going to describe what the wife's doing. But I said, isn't it like someone stabbing you with a heart in the heart every day? And she said, yes. It's like stabbing in the heart every day. So I'm thinking, oh, my God. Better to be a sannyasi. Anyways. And then, of course, then even Krishna leaves Vrindavan and leaves the poor gopis, like, completely in misery. So, but and we won't talk about that one. But in any case, I mean, why? I mean, why didn't Krishna just arrange the world so it's everything's sweet, everyone has a smile on them, the weather's always perfect? You know, why? Why? I'll give you an answer to that. Because then you wouldn't be happy. You'd be bewildered. Because then you would forget about the real source of your happiness. Because material happiness is not happiness. The only happiness you get in this material world is when pain stops. You're happy from eating because you're not hungry. You know, the pain of hunger. So, or you're happy with some sense gratification because you're lusty. Because you feel some lack. Therefore, the cessation of pain is actually the happiness. And referring to the verse Prabhupada quotes here, Bhagavatam 5.5.4 in the purport, there's an interesting verse that occurs right after that, 5.5.5. Which is a famous verse. This is Lord Rishabhadev speaking to his sons. Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kashtam kamam vidbujam ye tapo divyam putruki yena satvam chudyad yasmad brahma shoka chunantam. Lord Rishabhadev says, hey, the happiness in this world is just the pig's happiness. He says, Nayam deho deha, you have taken a human body. Bhajan Riloke, Kashtam Kamam Arde, Vidbujamye. The stool eaters, you know, are doing the same thing. They're just like, you know, they have these impulses, desires that are coming because they're in pain. You know, if a pig's hungry, he wants to eat. Just like an example with cows. We were talking, oh yeah, it was interesting. Yesterday we were talking to someone who said, it's cruel. What you're doing on the farm is cruel to cows. And the question was, you know, why is it cruel to the cows? Because you're breeding them. And I said, well, you know something? Cows like to be breeded. You know, they're thinking, you know, that if we didn't breed the cows wouldn't reproduce. They would just all be celibate. You know, it's kind of stupid, isn't it? A cow, you know, a celibate cow. I said, look, even there was a story. One time there was a cow that was separate, that was in heat, and it was crying. And Prabhupada said, crying because it wasn't being bred. And Prabhupada said, breed it. You know. So, you know, you don't have to. I was explaining that when you put the cows and the bulls together, you don't have to go and tell the bulls what to do. You say, my dear bull, here is a cow. Yes. No. Anyway, you don't give an instruction manual to a bull. You know, it's a natural impulse because a bull is feeling lusty. And because a bull is feeling lusty, a bull also gets what? Angry. Anyone work with bulls here? They get so angry. Bulls have strong muscles in their necks. They can throw a tractor over when they're lusty. You see the same thing when a man's lusty, isn't it? Not, he doesn't have such strong muscles. But he gets crazy. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. That's this verse here. It says when one yadindriya pritya, when one is actually attached to the senses, pritya means love. Priti means love. This is an interesting It's an actually interesting word in Sanskrit, priti. Like they have, the technical Sanskrit word for a love feast is priti bhoj. Did you know that? They have that before a marriage in India, where the groom's family hosts everybody. You have that in Bengal too?
Yeah.
It's called the priti bhoj, which technically means love feast. You should tell that to people. Where the women all get dressed up and show their clothes off to each other. Isn't that true? All the women, they spend like tens of thousands of rupees on their nice saris and they show up their new earrings. And all the men, they can't understand what's going on. The women are going, like, was it like greeting the deities? Anyway. So priti means love. Priya means dear. Someone who is dear. So it's the same word, priti, priya. Sometimes the husband will call the wife Priya, right? Do you ever call your wife Priya?
No, but previously...
They would do that. Now, what do you call your wife now? Hey, you. Come here. Cook for me. Yeah, you probably do that. But previously, the husbands would be more loving with their wives, and they'd say Priya. And the wife would call the husband Putty Dave, right? Yeah, Priya too, but Putty Dave, that means, oh Lord, my husband the Lord, right? That's interesting. Do they call you Lord anymore? No, it's Kali Yuga. So anyway, so Priya, so let's get back to the verse. Yadindriya Priya, that means one who is who's in love with his senses, basically. That's what the Sanskrit means. Yadindriya Priya, one who's actually in love with the senses. Nunam pramata, he becomes completely crazy. Like the animals, like the bull in heat, or the, you know, the pig, the hungry pig. And then kurute vikarma, then he commits activities. Of course, bulls don't commit vikarmic activities, only human beings. Only human beings are subjected to accruing the karma. So anyway, that's the happiness. So Krishna is giving us these miseries so that after many, many births and deaths, we realize, as the song goes from the 1960s, what is that song? Yeah, can't get no satisfaction. You know, can't get no satisfaction. You ever hear that song before? No, you never heard that. I'm sure Vitaleshwar heard that song, right?
I think Moya's voice actually has it on herself.
Yeah. It's a famous song. I can't get no satisfaction, but I tried. So you try for many, many births. You get smashed for many births. And then after that, you say, hey, maybe there is no happiness in the world. And you become a Kinchana Gotra. You become what? Materially exhausted, hopeless about the material world. If you still have some hope, you're not going to be Krishna conscious, actually. Prabhupada said, if you still think there's some enjoyment here, then that's like rowing the boat and keeping the anchor in. Row, row, chant, chant, chant the boat, and then keeping the anchor in, you're not going to get moved very far. Right? That's the example Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave, isn't it? That the marriage party was going from one side of the river to the other. It was the middle of the night, and they were sleeping, and when they woke up, they were on the same side of the river. And they said, what the hell's going on? And the boatman said, I made a mistake. I left the anchor in. So it's the same thing. You know, we can row, 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 chant, 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 chant. But as long as we leave the anchor in, you ain't getting anywhere. Or you'll go very slow. You can drag an anchor. We used to have a boat when I was young. And so I know sometimes you can drag the anchor. Drag it. You know, it's in there. It's in soft ground, but it'll go very slowly. So that's like if you have material attachments, you can make some spiritual advancement, but it's like dragging the anchor very, very slowly. So the point is, we do need to hear. That's why Prabhupada spoke about the miseries of the material world. That's why I'm speaking about the miseries of the material world. We do need to hear about these things, so we understand it is hopeless to try to enjoy the material world. And you see that we see. You know, our friends getting old, like Dvija Hari getting old, and of course Pundarik has a disease now. You understand? And you see, and we're thinking, but the funny thing is, we think what? It's not going to happen to me. Me, you know, I'm eating raw food and I'm going to live forever. The rest of you guys don't know how to control your senses and you're going to have problems, but me, you know, I'm going to go to all your funerals. I'm going to tell you I told you so. I'm going to laugh at your funerals, you know, I told you to control your senses, ha-ha, you're suffering, but me, I'm not going to suffer because, you know, I'm me. But it's not like that. You can eat raw food, you can go on the internet and get all your herbs and everything like that, but you're still going to get old, still going to die. And so, therefore, now's the time. Durlabham manasa janma tadab dhruvamartadam, as Prahlad Maharaj says. Okay? So any questions or comments? This is basically what Prabhupada was saying in the purport. Yavana Raj Kalakanya. Any questions, comments? Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned how Vishadhi, which actually this is pig life, like the sense codification. Also, Indra was obliged to take the form of a pig for so on for some time.
Yeah.
And then when Lord Rama came and tried to talk him to come back to the heavenly planets and resume his position there, I'm just fine just like I am here.
Family. Yeah. He said, I have so many responsibilities here. My wife, you know, the sow, let's call it the sow, the female pig is called the sow. And then Rama had to arrange, they all killed, so Indra would go back. That's pretty amazing how strong Maya is, isn't it? That even your Indra. And you're a devotee. Indra is a devotee, too. Okay. Any other questions? Time for prasad and time to enjoy. It's all, so. Yeah. What?
Like, even in the devotee, we all know that one day at a time we're going to die. But still, sometimes there are difficulties about the sense gratification. Like, try to enjoy. All the devotees are a little different than Korma.
Yeah.
Why?
Let's not talk about giving up sense gratification because that's a negative. Because we're not devoted enough.
Yes.
Let's do it in a positive way. I mean, I don't like to talk. You know, giving up sense gratification can only be done according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, Raso Varjam, Raso Pirsa, Param Jirsani Bhartate, by being absorbed in Krishna. If you're not absorbed in Krishna, you can't give up sense gratification. Like the Mayavadis or impersonalists, they try to give up attachment to the material world. Just like before I joined the movement, I tried to not be attached or think of nothing, and I had different methods of doing it. You know, I was practicing like yoga and things like that. So sometimes we try to make the mind still and not think of anything. So as soon as we made the mind still, I thought I made the mind still, I said, oh, wow, it's great, my mind's still now. But then the mind wasn't still as soon as I recognized the mind was anyway, you understand, the catch-22, the problem. Or I would stare at a flame, you know, trying to become detached from the material world. You know, we did this in the 1960s, isn't it? I mean, this is quite a common thing. You know, I wasn't alone, me and about 10 million other people. So... But you can't become detached from matter. It's impossible. You can become attached to Krishna, then automatically matter recedes in the background. It's like refocusing your lens on the camera. If you focus on something far away, it won't be focused on something close. Or if you focus on something close, it won't be focused on something far away. So the question is being absorbed in Krishna. So we have to figure a way that we can be absorbed. We talk about this at the farm. We have to figure a way that we personally can be absorbed in Krishna, something we like to do, according to our psychophysical nature. It's not that everybody, for example, not that everybody can be a pujari, because for some people, they wouldn't be absorbed in Krishna. They could be, you know, they could be offering arti and thinking of business while they're doing arti. If they're business, isn't it? If they're a vaisha, you'll be offering arti to Radha Radha Kanta, and you'll be thinking, you know, how much is the market worth today? Did the stock market go up? You know, should I have bought gold? Yeah, people, that's a Vaishya mentality. Like you're forced, like Krishna says to Arjuna, who is a pure devotee, by your nature, you'll be forced to act, right? So we have to be engaged according to our nature, which is, Prabhupada said, The duty of the spiritual master is to engage the disciple according to their psychophysical nature. Very important. So, because if you are, you're going to be enthusiastic about what you're doing. I mean, I gave the example on the farm the other day that if someone engaged me as being a typist, I would go crazy. You say, all day long, you're supposed to take dictation and, you know, type. I mean, I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. It's not my psychophysical nature. You know, I need to be engaged in preaching and planning things out. You know, I have a different nature. Everybody has a different nature. So we have to figure out what our nature is in consultation with our spiritual master, or with advanced devotees, and to be absorbed. We should wake up early every morning being excited about what's going to happen during the day. Then Maya won't tell. Like Prabhupada said, a full cup of milk, you can't put any ink in it. That's really important. So then you're absorbed in Krishna. Then detachment automatically. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Dahoitukam. That's a statement in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Vasudeva Bhagavati, by devotional service to Krishna, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janayati Asu Vairagyam. Then there arises causeless detachment. Vairagyam, jnanam cha, and knowledge also. Two things come. Jnanam cha yada haitukam. Haitukam means without any cause. Comes from engagement in devotional service. So we engage in devotional service. I mean, I personally don't worry so much about detachment because I'm so happy serving Krishna. I'm not interested in these other things. Like if someone asked me, would you like to go see this Bollywood movie, you know? I would think, I don't have time. I got too many things to do for Krishna. Even if I would like to go see it, you know, I'm having so much fun serving Krishna according to my nature. You understand? That should be the way it is. So if we're feeling inclination to see a Bollywood movie or Hollywood movie or whatever type of movie, that means we're not fully engaged. Also, the statement is, an idle mind's the devil's workshop. I mean, Prabhupada dwelt on this several places. Keep the devotees fully engaged 24 hours a day. So whatever your nature, if you're a businessman, don't stay in the temple all day long. Go out there and do business for Krishna. Get the hell out of the temple. You understand? If you're a businessman, what are you doing in the temple? You know, just stay for the morning program, then get out immediately and go to work. Because you're a businessman. Right? Or if you're Shudra by mentality, there's no problem with being Shudra. Go out and plow the fields. The problem said the plow department. PhD, he said plow department. Anyway, probably made a play on words, you know, plow department, PhD. So be out there at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, operating the oxen. Instead of sleeping, you know, go out and do something in the fields if you're inclined that way. Or if you're a Kshatriya, you know, just get to work with your management. Don't fight people, but or join the army or something like that. Just like this devotee, he joined the army and he preached and he held Rath Yatra. You heard about this? In Iraq. You heard about the devotee?
No.
Parthasarathy is his name. You heard him? He joined the army, went to Iraq, held Rath Yatras everywhere, you know, in Iraq. Most dangerous country in the world. And so, you know, if you're a Kshatriya, you know, do something dynamic. Just don't sit there. Do something. What do the Mayavadis say? Well, the Mayavadis say the opposite. Don't do something, just sit there. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
They're the opposite. You understand? They say, don't do something, sit there. We say, don't just sit there, do something. And if you're a Brahmin, study the Shastras. Make up seminars. Worship the deities. Cook for the deities. But realize your nature, so you're fully engaged. That's Varnashram. We're not against Varnashram. It's practical. Arjuna worked according to his nature. Krishna said, if you don't work according to nature, you're going to be forced to work according to your nature. Just don't sit around in the temple if you're a Vaishya. Yeah. Yeah, that's taken care of automatically if you engage fully in Krishna's service.
Okay.
according to the rules and regulations. You know, anyway, it has to be according to the rules and regulations. You can't say, you know, I'm a Vaishya, I'm going to cultivate marijuana for Krishna. It has to be something, you know, dharmic.
Yeah.
You have to be doing something dharmic. You know, I'm a Vaishya, I'm going to sell meat on the street corner. No. It has to be something according to the regulated principles and practices of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And the results have to be given to Krishna, too. Like if you're a Vaishya, then you give to Krishna. You know, you raise a Krishna conscious family, you give donations to the temple, you know, in the future we'll have things like tithing and everything like that. You know what that is?
I know, but I don't know if that can be in the future. I mean,
it should be now. I mean, you're a good example because you're giving more than 10%. But in the future, you know, it'll be like the Mormons, that you have to give a certain percentage. And Prabhupada originally said 50%, but that people got a lot of heart attacks when they heard that statement. Isn't it? And then they started calculating differently. Well, Prabhupada means 50% after I spend all my money. So they recalculate. You understand? They recalculate. Because first there was the feeling 50% of the gross, you know, the gross income. And then they said, well, 50% after net income, after I spent, you know, made all my expenses, bought my new Mercedes Benz and put my BMW and my iPods and everything, then 50% for Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they substantiate that. But it should be actually of the gross income. And we could live simpler. You know, actually all of us, even myself, I mean, we could live simpler than we're living now. You know, and we're using up a disproportionate share of the earth's resources. So simpler means there's more money. And also, Krishna's money. Another point, we talked about this yesterday in the temple. Krishna's money has to be protected, not a farthing. Of course, we don't have farthings anymore. But not a penny should be spent unnecessarily in the temple. Like we make sure all the lights are off, you know, and the air conditioning is not running, just unless it's necessary for the deities, you know. And using electricity, we should try to find a cheaper place to buy flowers. You know, when I heard we're spending so much on flowers, I almost had a heart attack yesterday. You almost had to take me to the hospital. Good. That's good. Yeah, when you said you told me $600 a week for flowers, I was saying, you know, take me to the hospital, you know, I'm ready to.
So that's the reason we grew up flowers, you know. Last year we saved almost 3 months flower money.
Yeah, that's good. And then, you know, in North Carolina we're planning maybe to have a greenhouse if, you know, Sadhvi builds it for us. But anyway, and she finances it. So we can, you know, because we're spending a lot of money there. Not as much as you're spending here, because we only have one set of deities. So the temple also, we should be very careful about Krishna's resources, not waste any money. You know, if you get a car, it should be something that's economical and burns a little less petrol. Every devotee should be very, very, Prabhupada was like that. He criticized the Westerners he called them damn cheap babus. Because they would get something like at 10 times the price and they think they get a bargain, isn't it? You know, devotees go to India and as soon as the people who are selling things see the white skin, they think, wow, there's someone we can cheat. Hari Bol! And then they tell the person, I am a devotee of Krishna. I love your guru. You ever had that happen to you? I mean, in Mayapur, in Navadvipa especially, it's like that. I remember going to the brass wallah there. And he said, oh, here's the pictures of all your sannyasis in our movement. Prabhupada, oh, I love Prabhupada. Oh, he's my guru. You know, someone else was your guru, they'd pull out his picture too. And so the Westerners, they can get cheated very easily in India. Yeah, say so unless you know what you, just like even, you know, I stay at Govardhan, so even when we take a rickshaw, I'm very strict with the rickshaw wallahs. Like I was with people the other day at Govardhan and the rickshaw wallah asked for 50 rupees to take them from where I was to the town of Govardhan. And this was, it was an Indian person. They just didn't know the price. And I went up to the rickshaw wallet and I said, no. 20 rupiah. 20 rupiah. You understand? You know little Hindi, I think. 20 rupiah. And the rickshaw wallet got scared. And I said, 20 rupiah. And I said, well, we're going away. And then he finally gave in. So the most important thing to know when you go to India is to learn the numbers. Everything else is not as important. You should learn from 1 to 10, and then 10 to 100. And then you have to learn what a lakh is, you know, or else the rickshaw wallah will say, 1 lakh rupees to take you to the Ghat. And then you'll agree, and then it'll ask for 1 lakh rupees when you get there. Anyway, the Westerners always get cheated. I think we have to end now. All right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Everything all right? Thank you for the nice help, the donation.
It was a very hot day for me yesterday.
It was? Oh, you went out. You went out yesterday here?
Mm-hmm.
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
What happened?
I was just thrown out of a place.
Oh, my God.
It was really hot.
Really? But today will be better. Where did you go? You got thrown out of the street?
No, it was just that I'm afraid of the police because she... Is that being recorded?
No. I'm just uploading it now.
Because the type of visa she has, she has to be really careful.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful.
And she started doing it with stores, but she's not aware of all the subtleties yet, you know, of so many things, you know.
But they usually won't check your visa, I mean.
No,
I mean, please don't.
I'll give you some examples. I went to stuff, you know. If somebody is offended, they will call the police and really give us trouble. I got caught, thrown out of a little town that I can never go back to.
Really?
One time, yeah. And in general, you know, and it was without me wanting to offend that person. The owner was there, but I didn't see the counter. I went to the workers inside of the store. And I was getting along well with the workers, and the owner came at me roar.
Really?
There was no way I could pacify him. And he called the police. And these things do happen.
The police came.
Oh, yeah. And then they checked my records. I was detained for about a couple of hours, not in the jail, but you know, with them, because they were checking my records. I had a green card at the time.
Lucky you had a green card.
Yeah. But, you know, but the thing is, because it's a question of not stepping on the toes of people that own little businesses. We have to go to them first before we go to the customers.
Right.
So, we're learning these things, you know. And it's a little bit...
But you've never gotten arrested.
No. But also, we don't want to be thrown out of the Jazz Fest. We want to do it probably Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, you were in the Jazz Fest?
No. But even near there. Saturday, because it's full of police. There's police cars and people get told off. So I'm saving it for Saturday and Sunday. You know, there's a whole way to approach people like in a needle or like a plow. So we're working on all these subtleties. And yesterday was difficult. But today we're going to go to a suburb and it'll be okay.
Yeah.
There's a question. Yeah, there's five factor of actions. And and the place is one of them. So, you know, it will be all right.
What's wrong with this? Okay, so have a good day today.
Thanks.
That's right. Let's Google. That's ridiculous.